Well, we are working through our study on Revelation, and I hope that you're learning and growing in both your understanding. I was talking yesterday with a friend, and we were discussing the whole topic and what we're working through. And I know from myself, if I had presented this probably 10 years ago, I would have presented it very differently than I am today. But I think that kind of that maturing and that growing part in our lives helps us to really see a broader picture of things. And I hope that that's true for all of us as we continue to grow in our understanding and our walk with Christ, that God has given us a bigger picture of all things. And probably as we work through the story, and we did that over all of those weeks, one of the things that kind of grabbed me most significantly about looking at the Bible in a whole picture rather than individual units was God's relentless pursuit of his people. Like that, like I just walked away with that big takeaway that it was like, wow, God just cares so much for us. And he's always reaching out and trying to draw us to himself. And I just love that aspect. And what I'm gaining in my own journey as I'm walking through Revelation, as we're, well, kind of running through it at this point, but as we're going through Revelation, what I'm gaining once again is that how significant the sacrifice of Christ for us is. Because, yes, personally, I always get it. But to think about that all we'll be celebrating for eternity in heaven over our salvation. Like, because the focus all the way through Revelation, Jesus revealed, that's what we tried to make sure you would see. And so this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But even bigger, you'd see the emphasis of the Lamb that is at the center of the throne. So the center of all eternity and all life is the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And so what an incredible, incredible gift that he has given to us. And so I hope you're grabbing that as well. Today we're talking about the witness, the woman, and the beast. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about that. We've been going through Revelation. My goal is to give you some snippets as we're going through, so your understanding of each chapter would be there. So chapter one was... Good, good. See, now I'm going to help you out so you can be able to get the right answer as we're going. But at this point, some of you have taken notes, and so you're really good on this. Chapter 2 and 3 was, yes, letters to the churches. And so I know some of you are reading it off your outline, but that's okay. I'm happy that you're following along. Chapter 4 and 5 was... Yes, a look into heaven. So we're kind of getting that picture. And so my goal is to make sure that each time you're coming through, you're getting a little broader picture, a little better understanding. Chapter 6 and 7. Yes, the judgments begin. And so that's when we start to see this taking place and starts what is happening. Then as we continue, chapter 8 through 10. Yes, judgments continue, and so we're going to see this. Now, we know that as you're looking at this, from chapter 6 on chapter 19, you're going to keep seeing these judgments that are going to be revealed, so there's quite a few. But the better you have an understanding of this, the less intimidating this is all going to be. Now, I don't pretend to have a knowledge of all the symbols or what they all mean or how what they all illustrate. Because I think that's a journey that we're all on. We kind of continue to understand. And I really think it's very important that we be careful not to attribute things, as far as our understanding, to things that we're seeing. Because I don't think we can always understand that. It's far beyond. And you'll hear a little bit more about this morning. But today we're going to talk about three key figures. There are some things that we do understand of what they're symbolic of, and we'll be talking about those this morning. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb. You're going to hear that so many times as we're looking at the whole book of Revelation, because the blood has life. Sometimes we think of blood as in death, but that's not the case when we talk about the blood of the Lamb. We're talking about life. And we're talking about life is in the blood. And that's why it's so important when we're getting a blood transfusion, and that's what happens when you give your heart to Christ. There's a whole new blood transfusion that comes on, and you have new life that is now in you that you didn't have before. And so if you've made a decision for Jesus Christ and you've given your heart to him, then that means that you have new life in you. And that's the blood of Christ that is now flowing in us that gives us that. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning that we might better know you and seek after you. In Christ's name, amen. Let me say this. The introduction, signs of the end of the age are given in Matthew 24, for Mark 13, and Luke 21. I kind of said that quickly but in past, but I thought I'd write it down for you so you could be able to make sure it's like you have it and you could be able to look it up as well. So those three Gospels all have a chapter solely devoted to the signs of the end of the age. Now, if you look in those, no matter where you stand in your perspective of premillennial and postmillennial and amillennial and pre-tribulation and mid-tribulation and post-tribulation, or wherever you are, historist or futurist or whatever your perspective of Revelation is, and I've read all of those, so I do understand those. So whatever yours is, one thing for sure, Jesus has not come yet, and he is coming. And we know, no matter what, Jesus is coming. Amen? And so we know that didn't happen yet, because this ain't heaven. We're not there yet. So we know there's still things to come. So whatever your position is on any perspective, there's more to come. There is more to come. And so what we have to understand is when we look at this, we see things that look similar to now, but a lot of those have never happened. And so we know there's more to come. All three of these Gospels give us pictures of things to come and certainly things that have not happened. At this point in Revelation, the book of Daniel begins to come into play as well. And so remember, we did a whole sermon series on Daniel. And as we talked about, there were some of those aspects that were giving a look at future and things to come. And so they come into play at this point. We also talked about the fact that the Old Testament, 25 books of the Old Testament are re-given to us in the book of Revelation in over 500 verses. So there's a whole lot to put together for our deeper understanding of what's really happening, and yet we still don't have a full understanding of all that's happening. There's still that is more for us to be able to look at. We know Jesus is coming. We know he's returning. We know he's going to come into the clouds, and he's going to catch up those before they know it in a twinkling of an eye. It says that a twinkle is like a tenth of a blink, so it's going to happen that fast. I thought about that. I was talking to someone. We have a bird feeder in our backyard, and we kind of keep it full. And it was about a couple weeks ago. I was just looking out our patio door, and as I was looking out, I had two little birds that were just happily chewing away at food that were on the ground. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, one came and went, whew, and it was a hawk or a falcon or something, grabbed that one bird and went, whew, and disappeared just like that. And the other bird was like, wah! Like, what happened? And it was so funny. It wasn't funny. It was funny, was it? But anyway, it's nature. I mean, like, I was like, I felt bad. I didn't know I had a hawk feeder. I thought I only had a bird feeder. But as I looked at it, you know, it says in a twinkling of an eye, that's when we're going to be raptured and caught up. And there are going to be a lot of people who are going to go, wow, what happened? It's just like going to go like, whoa. Because we know that's what the scripture says. So we know there are certain things that have not happened, no matter what our position or our belief is. Certain things have not happened. And so we're still waiting. Now we're seeing these come into play. And first of all, in chapter 11, we're seeing that there are two witnesses. an interesting kind of perspective of these two witnesses, we see that their testimony becomes very, very important, and they have overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Let me say, it's not just them, it's every one of us. If we overcome, it's only because Jesus made it possible. Whatever's happening in your life, whatever the struggle is, whatever the battle is, it's Jesus who's going to get you through it. And you need to give him glory and honor for whatever he does in your life. That's the good news. That's what the message that these two witnesses are preaching, and they're giving this message, and it's a personal testimony. Let me say, nothing is more powerful than your personal testimony. Don't ever negate it. Don't ever minimize it. Don't ever say, well, mine isn't like real dramatic. I gave my heart to Christ when I was 5, and it's not really, whoa, rewind, stop. Whatever God saves a life, it's significant. He either saved you from things or kept you from things, and saved you through things or kept you. So some people who gave their heart to Christ maybe never experienced some of the things that some of us have experienced, but because God does a miraculous work in our life when we give our heart to Christ, whether it was the age that Linda shared with us this morning of children or older, your testimony is the most powerful thing that you can ever share. So don't ever minimize your testimony. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The time that they shared this testimony was 3.5 years. As we're looking and we start to see this kind of 7-year period that's talked about, we start to hear more and more specifics about the 3.5 years, one half of the tribulation versus the other half. Their power that they demonstrate is they have the power to turn water into blood and to bring plagues onto the earth. Now, it has to start to like go, who else did that? Who else had that happen in the Old Testament that would be witnesses that would be coming back? And so believe that their identity, this is not absolute, so you can put question mark around this if you like, believe that their identity would be Moses and Elijah. Now, we know that they came back at the Mount of Transfiguration. We know that both those the plagues and for Moses, the water turned to blood, we know that those would be very, very similar to what Moses and Elijah had done. We know that they would represent the law and the prophets, so they would represent all of Old Testament. So pretty confident. Some people would say it's really Elijah and Enoch, those who had not died. And so they've never tasted death, so everyone has to taste death, so they would have said that. So there's different perspectives, but I lean personally more toward this being those two who are the witnesses that would come back. Their deaths are then happening, and so the whole world will see. And then after that, the message, come up here, is then said, so they're raptured off the earth. They're raptured off the earth. Now, that same message, come up here, is why some would then support a pre-tribulational rapture, which would have been Revelation chapter 4, when it says, come up here. And they would say, aha, that's exactly when the rapture took place. They would use this scripture and that one as support for giving that. So that would be those two witnesses who would come. Second thing is, key figure is the woman. And there's much to understand. The description with 12 stars helps us to understand what these would represent. And they could be the 12 tribes. They could be the 12 apostles that are coming and representing this, because really believe the woman is the church. And so as you would look at this, it makes a lot of sense as you look at the whole picture of this chapter and trying to understand what it is. And if it was the church, then these 12 apostles or 12 tribes, both even together, could be represented in these 12 stars. And so that would make a lot more sense also. The child that is born is the Messiah. And it comes from the woman. And rather than saying the woman would have been Mary, it really fits in a broader picture, much more so if it's the church. And the birth of the Messiah comes as a result. Now, right there, there's a dragon waiting to devour the child. And that would be symbolic of Satan, who immediately tried to take the life of the child. And so you remember, after Jesus was born, Herod tried to kill all of the babies, and they fled to Egypt in Africa as a result at that point to try to escape. And so this dragon would be represented. Now, the dragon's power is shown to us by the seven horns with seven crowns. And so remember, when we talk about the horns, we're talking about power that existed. And so there was great power that this dragon had to be able to do this. Let's look at chapter 13, and we'll look at the last figure. This is representative of the beast. And so the beast is the Antichrist. So when we see that referred to, we're understanding a little bit more that that is what is taking place, and that is what is happening here when we look at that. His symbols of 10 horns and 7 heads are complete power. The number of 10 now shows the complete power and authority that he had over the earth. And so that's going to come more and more to the forefront as we're moving through the next few chapters, as you would understand that a little bit more. His time of complete authority is about 3.5 years. So what we understand is that first 3.5 years, he would not be in position of full authority, but the last 3.5 years he would be. And so that's why they often call the last 3.5 years the Great Tribulation, because that would be a time period when the enemy is in full authority of the earth. His power is over all who are not written in the book of life. So I saw on the screens this morning when we're saying the time to light the candles and recognize those names who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so when you're born again and you give your heart to Jesus Christ, that's why you don't gradually come into this. Do you kind of get that? Some people say, well, I kind of always been a Christian. Or some people would say, it just kind of happened. I don't know exactly, but it kind of happened as it came. Well, if that were the case, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life would have been, okay, I think he's getting closer. We'll put an A down for Arlie. Okay, a little closer. Let's put an R. Let's put an L. I mean, no, they write your name in the book of life because it's a time. Now, you may have difficulty but saying, okay, this was exactly it, or that was exactly it, or remembering or recalling. But there was a turning point in your life when you said, I want to give my heart to Christ. I want to follow him. I want to be a follower. And you surrendered your life to him, because that is the case. And he says the enemy does not have power over those who have given their life to Christ. Amen? He does not have power over us. He no longer can be able to control. We now have the power of the blood of Jesus living in us, working through us. You don't have to give in to sin. Even though the enemy is powerful, you have a choice. And that's the good news of the gospel. The second beast that comes up that's talked about is the false prophet. So in that sense, there's kind of like an unholy trinity that is a part of this. The second beast, his symbol of 2 horns like a lamb, all his power is on behalf of the first beast. And so he kind of defers his power to that. He kind of draws attention to that. So that's kind of what we see that is taking place and that is happening. And the first beast survives a fatal head wound. He assumes full power over the earth. And so We know that that's what it tells us in this chapter. We also know, as we're looking, that he forces everyone to take the mark, 666. Now, we know that 7 is God's number, 6 is man's number. So interestingly, have people attributed to all of this and understanding this 666 that actually throughout history, people have been trying to use that particular passage in Revelation when it said, this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number, his number is 666. And so they've tried to figure out what that is. There was a highway out and out west that was actually 666, and it was called the Devil's Highway because that's what everybody, well, they actually renamed it, I guess 2003 I was reading. And so because it had created such a stigma in regard to it. People, if you got that on your credit card, people would say, I don't want this number. they got it on their phone. Now, not that it's going to do anything to you. We have to understand this is not superstition. And I also caution about trying to say who is the Antichrist. I think we as Christians can make fools of ourselves when we're out setting dates and pointing names if we're not careful. Because I think I've lived long enough to hear all of those things, and my faith is deep enough that it's not shattered mine, but I know it's hurt others. Because from the beginning, people have thought Muhammad was the Antichrist. They thought Luther was the Antichrist. Pope Benedict, Napoleon, Kaiser Wilhelm, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, Barack Obama, and even more recently, Justin Andrew Bieber. Really? Well, he has 6 letters in each of his names. Come on. So I don't make the body of Christ look foolish by trying to put names into these things or people. Like, yes, we need to see things that are coming. Yes, we need to be aware. Yes, all of those things. Yes, it's serious. And yes, all of that's important for us to be knowledgeable about. And there's a blessing that comes with the book of Revelation. And there's a blessing that comes to those who read it and understand it. But be careful about what you do and how you handle things, because we can do great damage to the cause of Christ as a result. Let me just close with this. There's judgment on the earth, but once again, there's worship in heaven. And here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is victor. I asked Priscilla at the bookstore to order some extra of these. If you want to have just an encouraging look at Revelation to see it, A.W. Tozer has a book called Jesus is Victor. And if you'd like to get a copy of it, she's ordered those, and you can let her know at the bookstore. But it's a fresh perspective on the book of Revelation, and it just really focuses on this whole direction that we've been focusing on. So when I came across it, it was shared with me about it. I thought, I want to read that. I want to get that great thing, because that's the message of Revelation. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. I'd like you to read the scriptures that are going to be in this section with me. And so let's read it together. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Great. You could start singing, but maybe you shouldn't. Great, obviously great song. Jesus is victor of past, present, and future. No matter what's been a part of your past, let me say, Jesus is victor. Hold on to that. No matter what's, if you've confessed your sin, he's faithful and just and will forgive, and that is past. Jesus is victor in your present, because you're claiming what you believe God to be doing. Jesus is victor for your future, because you continue to have one who goes before you, knows what is there, and is continuing to work. Let's read it together. We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have great power and have begun to reign. Number 3, Jesus is victor and rewarding his saints. Great news. That's what Jesus wants. Jesus, hell was not created for men. It was not created for us. It was created for the enemy and for his angels. It was not for man. But because many refused to follow him, refused to confess their sin, refused to invite him in their life, refused to let him direct their lives, then many will suffer as a result. Let's know that God wants us to understand the victory he has for us. Read it with me. The time has come for judging the dead, rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints, and those who reverence your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. A message that he has for us. Jesus is victor over sin and all the earth. Jesus is victor. No matter what it is in your life, claim the victory that we have in Jesus. That's the message. Let's read it together. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. Jesus is victor over evil. We see so much of it in our world, and so many things happen, and the enemy plays so many people into his plan and his direction. But there's coming a time when Jesus will be victor over evil, and no longer will we see that on this in this earth. Read it with me. For the accuser of our brothers who accused them before our God day and night has been hurled down. See, that accuser is saying, you can't do this. You'll never make it. You're not good enough. He's accusing us continually, day and night. But let me say, Jesus is victor. We do not have to give in to those thoughts. We don't have to give in to the enemy. We can know and claim his victory because that's what he has given to us. Jesus is victor over the heavens and all who dwell in them. Let's read this together. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. The good news that he has for us is that we can be able to know the victory. Jesus is victor by the blood of the Lamb. That's exactly what he's done for us, and that will be celebrated for eternity. They read it together. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Don't let anyone talk you out of sharing your testimony and the blood of the Lamb that has made a difference in you. Do you want to celebrate that this morning? Amen. Great importance. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Stand together with me and say, read that together as our closing prayer and worship to God. Read it. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. I think you could do that one more time. You're getting practice for heaven, folks. Let's try it again. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Amen. God bless you and go with you.